Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's Mic Check! It's Mic Check! The podcast by Mike Myers!
Good evening, horny babies and gentlemen. Are you prepared to pod? Because you were listening to Mic Check, the only podcast that goes through the entire filmed work of Mike Myers. Who is Mike Myers? Well, he's a very funny man, and he is a comedian, best known for playing Wayne Campbell, Austin Powers, and of course, perhaps, Tommy Maitland, the host of The Gong Show.
Perhaps,
we don't know for sure.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I thought we confirmed that it was, or at least we've confirmed our suspicions that it is.
Maybe we should just say, yes, Mike Myers is Tommy Maitland.
We don't have to. I mean, I'm saying it is, but mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll ever know.
And who are you? Who are you saying who it is? Who are you in this
so,
case?
So, how rude of me to not introduce myself. I'm Cameron James. I'm one of the co-hosts of the show, and you must be...
I'm Alexi Toliopoulos, one of the co-hosts of Mic Check, the only podcast that goes through the entire filmed work of Mike Myers.
Now, this is the second time you've said that, and yes. I just want to stop you for a second and say we've done more than just the filmed work.
Yeah, that's true. We've also read his fucking book.
We read his fucking book.
Yep.
And that's saying something.
That's saying a lot,
That's
actually.
Saying that we are more than just film reviewers, TV mm-hmm. recappers. We are, dare I say it, critics and journalists.
I'd say we're historians as well.
Okay.
We're archiving.
Can I say we're historians?
I think we have to.
Yeah.
Because in this day and age, we have to say that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And can I say something?
Yeah.
I love that kind of shit.
I love that too. I love inclusivity.
Yeah.
Really, really, it's important in this day and age.
I fucking love it too. And speaking of inclusivity, I'd like to really include our guest for today.
Would I love to bring this guy in. We are joined by one of the original horny babies, one of our earliest guests. You may remember him from our Austin Powers episode. It's Clinton Haynes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, thanks for including me.
Hey, thanks for coming on board.
Thanks for being on board.
Now, you got your arms crossed. You seem very tense.
Very standoffish.
Oh, bro, I'm like a toyger.
Oh, you're toit.
Oh, you're toit. Yeah.
You're very toit.
Oh, God bless you.
Hey, I didn't sneeze, but thank you anyway.
I didn't sneeze.
What was that?
You're just musical and running.
Yeah, you seem to take sentences I say and turn them into songs a lot.
No, I don't.
I like it, baby.
So the three of us groovy kids just watched two episodes of The Gong Show hosted by Mike Myers' character, Tommy Maitland.
We watched The Gong Show, we slammed it down, and then we chased it with another episode of The Gong Show.
One of the best chases you can get is the exact same thing, but a second sip.
Yeah, you watch one 42-minute episode of a show, and then you watch another 42-minute episode.
Just to make sure if you truly are lukewarm on it.
It's addictive.
We watched episodes 2 and 3. We literally just pressed pause on the stream that I found on the internet.
Yes, we are still buffering the credits at the moment. We are hot off the app.
Yeah, guys, if you're going to watch The Gong Show, may I recommend stealing it?
Yeah, we are watching it on a fabulous Russian stream at the moment, and it is one of the best places you can watch it. A lot of people talk about Netflix, a lot of people talk about Stan, Hulu. I mean, who are you anyway? We're the people that watch it on an illegal Russian stream.
Try to find a website with the domain .ze. That's when you know you've found a really good fucking site. And also, they say Macs can't get viruses. I want to prove everyone wrong by saying my computer keeps going black right now. I think I'm being watched by Putin.
By Putin, by Hooten.
And I'm putting a cap on that and saying, that's fine.
Mm.
You got to steal. Yeah. Clinton, did you watch the first episode of The Gong Show?
I think so. Yeah, it was Zach and...
Zach was on it.
Yeah.
Zach Galifianakis.
And Ken
Jeong.
And Will Arnett, creator of Gong Show.
That's right. That's right. Or at very least, executive producer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what did you think of the first episode?
Oh, it was all right. Zach was great. Maitland started off wearing the hat. It's like straight away.
Yeah.
Like it didn't even start normal. I think he was straight away. It was
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering what this hat is, it's been a source of great contention today. Tommy Maitland seems to have a costume that was absent in all promo.
Mm. I think we caught a little glimpse of it in some promos.
Yeah.
But it's a fucking shock how much he wears this matador hat.
A matador hat.
I think it's because he has like these very matador-like movements. Like he's always like swinging his arms to present the next act as if he's holding a red cape to bring out the bulls, you know?
But it doesn't tie into the character at all. The character's British and he's
Well, you know,
from the pubs, man.
A lot of older British people that hang out in pubs, they actually do migrate to Spain to soak up the sun for the last few
years.
Oh,
they go to Ibiza.
Yeah.
Ibiza.
Yeah.
Ebenezer.
Yeah.
To just soak up that sun.
Rizza, jizza.
Yeah, to become golden, dude.
Yeah,
true. If I was a British club comedian, I would go to the fucking sun-soaked beaches of Ibiza and I just fucking relax in my
just
twilight
take a
years,
pill
you know?
And
yeah.
Just
just become a sexy beast for my last few days, you know? Hopefully don't get hit by a boulder.
Awesome, brother. Now, and this matador hat really fucked with all of us because he seems to wear it a lot, like too much. It's not just an affectation that he comes out wearing it. He's wearing it for like...
So he's got different props for different things. And that seems like just do it for one thing. But it's for every...
He's wearing this hat for too long. And it's not a... I don't know. It's I don't know how I feel.
It's
about
not a good look, honestly.
It's weird.
A matador hat, it's not cool.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's like wearing one of those red things, like a fez. And just going, hey, I'm wearing a fez for no reason.
But
like
a fez has a rich history to it.
I don't recall your name, but your fez is familiar.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that connects to Austin Powers, but the matador hat does not connect to Austin Powers, but does connect to another Myers character.
Well, that's the thing. We had our suspicions, and we've kind of toyed around with this. Is the character of Tommy Maitland similar to our favourite Brooklynite?
Mm. One of the best New York characters Mike Myers has ever played.
The Cat in the Hat.
Yes. Because the Cat in the Hat...
Hey, I'm the Cat in the Hat over here. And more. Clinton's doing an act out, which works great. Yeah. It's so funny, guys.
He really killed in the room. Really, really killed in the room.
Yeah, Cat in the Hat. There are some similarities between two characters.
Right? I mean, the Cat in the Hat, famous for his hats.
Well, he's sort of an MC to the children in a way. He's like the party. He holds a party. He's the MC. He leads the children.
That's true.
Whatever you guys want to do, want to make you happy. Oh, yeah. And he would do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that is true.
I am the Cat in the Hat.
Yeah, does he do Scottish in that
movie?
I mean, he does, but he plays the golfer.
Honestly,
that movie's fucking burned into
my
brain.
He's like the
mask. After seeing it only once this year. It's really stuck in me.
You remember everything about
it? It's stuck in my craw.
Mm. Oh, dude, I'm so sorry.
Thanks, man. Yeah. But he moves so much like the Cat in the Hat.
Yeah.
Like the guy...
It's almost like he's wearing a very uncomfortable costume that he can barely move.
Because he's got all that prosthesis on his face. Mm. That kind of also does make him look like the Cat in the Hat. And I find the Cat in the Hat's face just absolutely disturbing. It's sickening to me.
Yeah. I've only got room for one pussy in my life. And that pussy better be wearing boots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't need that Cat in that hat, baby.
Puss in boots.
Yeah, I love him.
Shrek, all the Shreks he was in. He came in the second one, did he?
Yeah, dude.
Was that Antonio?
But
Antonio.
But here's the thing, you know, the Cat in the Hat, much like the mask, can bring different costumes out of thin air.
Like a cartoon character.
And there is a great scene that I cannot remember, but I have seen screenshots of just now when I did my research, of the Cat in the Hat wearing the same Matador hat.
That's I would say it's the exact same one.
I think it's officially the same hat.
I think Mike would have been on set and goes, well, there's only one fucking thing in this whole costume that I like wearing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's not the fucked up face. Hey, Mike,
do you
want
to take anything home? Like, do you want to take this big red and white striped hat that you've been wearing at home, or the
iconic titular hat from
and
the
he's
movie.
Like, no, just give me that fucking Matador
hat.
Because this felt like I had a bull charging at me for this entire production, and I think I'm gonna do something with that hat in about 15 years.
Yeah. Yeah. he created 15 characters from that Matador and then whittled them down.
Whittled them all down into the one character of Tommy Maitland that hosts a show.
I finally figured it out. Get Will Arnett on the line.
Yeah, it's like Will Arnett said, actually, babe, don't wear the hat. And then he's just walked out with a hat and just wears it every time.
And Will's just in the first episode just like,
Tommy!
I told Tommy not to wear that.
Because he wore the hat the entire first two episodes, right? Mm. Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think he took it off a little bit towards the end of the
And then he weirdly takes it off. Like, just for one act and you see his beautiful hair. I want to see more of his hair.
Absolutely.
The guy's got a thick, gorgeous head of hair.
Silver fox or
silver auburn. Very pristine in place. And Alexi, you famously love a man with a good head of hair because have a great head of hair.
Thank you, God.
And the trolls and stuff. Yeah. The troll hair.
I love troll dolls. Love Al Pacino. They've got the same haircut. Yeah. Love them so much.
How do you feel about like a slick back kind of like rockabilly?
God, you know I love greasers.
Like a Chris Isaac.
I love a Chris Isaac. I love that kind of thing. Like a Silvio from The Sopranos.
Yeah, absolutely. A big pompadour.
Oh my God, a pompadour? A duck? Duck's ass?
Yeah, you love a duck's ass.
I love a duck's ass.
Yeah, man.
D-A?
Now, how would you describe Tommy Maitland's hair?
It's just like slicked back a little bit. It's kind of got a little pompadour to it.
Okay.
Perhaps a pomp and circumstance, one might say. But it's not quite a pompadour.
It's a showman hairstyle because he's a showman.
Yeah, he wears suits. He wears a suit. He comes out on stage. He performs with panache.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. He's got panache coming out of his fucking wazoo, I'll tell you that.
After he wiped that off, he was pretty funny.
But then this Matador hat, it just seems out of place.
So weird.
Like, the character is not...
He's got to say something about it. That's all
he has never acknowledged it.
He never acknowledged it because he's wearing a tuxedo.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, maybe this is like a traditional hat that one might wear with a tuxedo.
No.
But I've never seen anyone wear a hat with a tuxedo before. That's
I'm gonna post that Matador screenshot of the Cat in the Hat wearing the Matador hat up on our Facebook page
and our Twitter, and
you'll be able to see what you should be wearing when you're wearing a Matador hat. First of all, a very shiny, sparkly
high
pants, even higher jackets.
Very low cut, like just beneath the tip.
Yeah, just to cover the nips.
Yeah, just to cover the nips.
It's just for a bit of modesty.
And also, what else you should be wearing? About fucking 8 kilos of prosthetic cat makeup.
Made out of real human hair.
Yeah, real human hair. Real silver fox hair.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so we were talking as well about how Tommy Maitland, the way he dances around is not unlike Cat in the Hat, and how it looks like his clothes are too tight. He does make a comment about how he's wearing full body Spanx underneath them, and it does look like that.
Yep.
What I will now put to you, not only did Mike Myers keep the hat, the Matador hat from Cat in the Hat, but underneath he's wearing the full human hair cat suit. And that's what's inhibiting his movements from having the proper flow of of what he would wear, like when if he's at the president's ball, you know, singing "What's New Pussycat." That guy's got a cat fetish coming out the wazoo, basically.
Maybe that's why I like this guy.
Yeah, maybe that's
why. He said one of his favorite movies is "What's New Pussycat." Yeah,
really?
Do you think the character of Tommy Maitland is a cat from the neck down and the wrists up?
I think so. From neck down, wrists up, and perhaps the tip of the head.
the tip of the head.
Yeah. Mm. Just the face is so human.
Oh, yeah. There's a fan theory. Tommy Maitland is the Cat in the Hat, just with shaved hands and face.
Yeah.
He's the Cat in the Hat if he had to go get a real job. Because the Cat in the Hat bombed so bad that he had to like go.
They hired Cat in the Hat to the host. Only if you shave. In this suit. And you're English.
Got it.
Wow.
But that's like not the only Mike Myers connection in this. Mm. There is as well, he made a joke during the one of the contestants. It was the winning contestant from episode 2.
Mm.
Which is Zombie Ballet.
Which was the best one.
It was fucking fantastic.
Phenomenal.
It was Shagadelic, baby, I'd say it. And it's he makes a joke when it's basically women dressed as zombies doing wonderful choreographed ballet.
Mm.
And after it, he says, wow, it's just like the only time I've had a fright like that is when I was at partying at Studio 54 and the lights came up.
Yeah, that's
pretty that's explicit.
Great. I mean, you
know? Imagine what would he have seen?
Yeah. Probably some sucking and fucking on the dance floor.
Really?
Yeah, probably a little bit of that kind of thing.
Clinton, you ever seen any sucking and fucking in real life?
No, I haven't. No.
You never watched a mate?
No, I watched a mate. Ever play Watch a Mate? What does he say? I want to suck your cock. What does he say?
Yeah, Steve
I
want to
suck your cork.
Mike most famously co-wrote the Cork Circus sketch of Steve Rubell.
I
want
to suck your cork. Now, that's interesting to me. Does Tommy Maitland exist in the same universe as Mike Myers' Steve Rubell?
I would say so.
So if we watch 54 again, and I insist that we do, we could scan the background and potentially see a young Tommy Maitland.
You're right.
Yes, maybe we should try that.
Floating around the back of 54.
Because it does tie in with the story of Tommy Maitland being a very horny comedian, you know, on tour all the time.
Yep.
He made another joke that famously bombed on episode 2 of The Gong Show, where he got the band to play one note. He said, oh, that reminds me of my last girlfriend. She was a flat minor. And then the audience was like, oh, no, you're the devil.
Tommy.
And then he said, she worked in the mine and she had very small breasts.
Yeah.
And I was a real clunker.
Yeah, it left a thud in the room.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy. I said, Tommy, you can't. That doesn't translate. What across year is the it, pond. Tommy?
Yeah. You've got, the pond.
That's great. In Edinburgh. Sure, you do that joke in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, do it in Edinburgh. That's what I'll say. Don't do it here, bro.
Don't do it over the pond. Please.
Please. At least edit that out. Like
edit it out.
It's a weird moment.
This is a 42-minute episode.
How are we going to cut it down? It's impossible.
Yeah, how can we cut that 5 seconds of bomb?
We got the editor's like, oh, yeah, we do have to keep the show to an hour, so I guess we've got to keep some of the bomb jokes in.
He does have some other good horny jokes, though. At one point, I can't remember which episode it was from, he famously announced that he had an erection from watching the performance. And
that was from episode 2.
That's... very, that's very horny.
Yeah, I believe it was.
Do you have an erection?
I do exactly have an erection. Yeah.
Which is the, I think.
That's confirmation that he's horny.
Yeah, it's erection, too much.
It's too much.
I think that's the problem we have because we are delighted by Mike being one of the horniest cunts in film and TV history. Like, we are absolutely delighted by that. It's one of the funniest things ever. It's funny as hell. Mm. And it's just a little titillating.
Yeah.
But you can't be titillating if you're spruking out pre-cum. You know, that's not exciting.
I can't be titillating if I'm fucking ejaculating.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, true.
Talking about holes and stuff.
I want to know a guy's horny, for sure. But do I want to know a guy's way. Sexual? Yeah. No, thanks.
Erection. I don't think he ever said that in Austin Powers.
No way.
Me hard or whatever he said. My little soldier, or whatever.
Yeah. My todger. My wedding tackle.
Erection. Whoa.
That's my hard erection.
My stiff little dinko.
My throbbing vein machine. I don't know.
Or maybe the love guru said that.
A love guru would have said something.
I think
like,
that. My chest of drawers doesn't even need
it. It's the second time that Mike Myers has admitted he's had an erection in all of these films.
What was the first
because
time?
Because Steve Rubell, obviously very disgustingly horny character in 54.
But did he ever say, I have an erection?
Couldn't get it up. But in The Love Guru, remember that scene where he gets a little
The first gong
is when he gets, because he's wearing that metal chastity belt. Yeah, we hear that gong.
That's the first time he's gonging off his own cum.
Penis was engorged with blood.
He doesn't say erection.
He doesn't admit it, but we know. It's confirmed. That's a confirmed erection. As far as we know, Austin has never
had an erection. It's not just a confirmed erection, it's a firm erection.
And this one from Tommy, I mean, this is a verbal confirmation. I saw no proof visibly with my eyes, but I trust him.
I had a flirtatious moment with one of the guys, though, actually. He was like, oh, you're coming back to my dressing room or something. Like, it was the guy who was like...
Oh,
With no clothes or something?
Which guy? There's a few clothless characters in these two episodes.
This is what people like about Tommy Maitland and about Mike Myers, is that he swings both ways, probably.
Like Robbie Williams. He's a...
Yeah, he swings when he's winning. He just like... He'll fuck a dude, he'll fuck a chick.
Whatever.
Any hole's a goal.
But I think the actor you're talking about was they played body percussion on a fat guy in a sumo suit.
Oh, yeah.
Another Mike connection. He's also played a fat guy in a sumo suit. Fat bastard, gold member.
Yeah.
And there was also a gold member connection in the zombie ballet act. The zombies ripped off a piece of their flesh and he almost ate it.
Yeah, eating a skin bit.
Not unlike Goldmember himself, who has a fetish for eating his own dead skin.
I mean, Goldmember famously eats his own skin. That's the most famous thing about it.
He has a specific little box for it.
That's probably the thing most people remember about it.
I beg your pardon?
I think that was the first bit that he kept.
Yeah, so it's good.
Oh, it's so good. What do we think about Tommy Maitland? Clinton, what
I
do you...
I
want
to fuck him. I don't care.
You like this character?
Yeah, I think he's great. He's charming. He's from, you know, he's saying a lot of differences between America and England and stuff when he did that first interview and stuff. Yeah. I think he's just still a fish out of water. He's trying to be a good MC.
Yeah.
And a good host. And I think he's a good bloke. And God, he's witty. He's always on. He's energetic. Bloody hell.
Do you think he faltered at any moment during these two episodes?
He dropped his voice at some point.
He did drop his voice.
Was he talking to Dana Carvey?
He was talking to Dana Carvey, who was one of the judges in episode 3. And
he forgot himself.
There was an act that was called Meshuggah something, and they were a Jewish-themed surf rock band.
Yeah.
And Dana Carvey was lapping it up. And Mike as well, he was taken back to a time where he was, in fact, married to a Jewish woman in the early 90s.
Yeah, now you're reading into that.
Yes, but that's who I am. I have to speculate.
You love to... you're an empath, famously.
That's what I am. I see people out there in the world on the screens. I embody their feelings. I feel everything that's happening to them. And that's why I'm such a good film critic.
Long-term listeners will be familiar with Alexi professing that he is an empath on multiple occasions. But I just want to put it out there on the record now that in private, Alexi did confess to me that he is not truly an empath. He's actually a psychopath posing as an empath.
You know, sometimes I'm worried that I come across as inhuman and cold and perhaps even robotic. But I do play it up for the listeners. So I do appear likable and reachable to them. But unfortunately, no, I have no feelings. And, you know, just, you know, I look out into a crowd and go, well, I guess maybe I'm funny. Who knows?
That's a Tommy Maitland speech at the final Gong Show episode. Just a long monologue.
The final episode of the Gong Show will just be Tommy Maitland sitting on a stool in an empty audience, just looking at the camera for 42 minutes and breaking down who he is and why he's here. And then he'll just
try to experiment.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. I like...
Oh, I'll finish the Dana Carvey thing. Yeah. So, what was... Oh, yeah. So, after the band plays, Dana Carvey loves it. He's like, I want to give it 10 out of 10. Have I given it 10 yet? And then Mike says, well, why don't you hang 10 now? In reference to surfing. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I understood that. Uh-huh. But he said it completely in a Canadian accent.
He lost
himself to Dana. Because Dana is his familiar.
Well, we need to
when
talk
I say
about
familiar,
this.
I mean not just like Italian for family, but I do mean like when a witch has a creature that works with them very often.
Works with
a familiar, like an animal sidekick.
Yes, exactly.
Now, we need to discuss the Dana portion of this. We had a lot of high-profile judges on these two episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
None more exciting than Dana Carvey in episode three. And what a thrill to see Dana working with Mike again.
It was honestly, I was so in joy.
And Dana was excited from the get-go. He was pumped. He was jumping up in his seat and everything. The energy of this boy.
Full Tom Cruise special. And guess what? Yeah. The guy could fucking pull it off. Unlike Mr. Cruise in 2005.
Dana was the best judge they've had so far.
Easily.
And
entertaining.
Brought the level of the episode up so much.
Yeah. So high.
Episode two was okay. And then when episode three came on, we instantly all locked in like, this is fucking great.
Well, episode two had, the judges were Elizabeth Banks, who's great. She's funny, but I think she's funny with a, you know, a script and a director. She works so well with that.
Yep.
But herself, I think she, you know, she's not known as a personality.
But she was the funniest of the three judges.
Easily,
was,
because the other two were Fred Armisen and Will Forte, who
two comedy geniuses.
Who are the
can
greats?
I say two of the greats.
And we were excited to see Fred Armisen work against Mike Myers because they have this project where they played new romantic singers. They did it. They
did a lot of secret shows around LA and New York. And very exciting, but that project never saw the light of day, unfortunately.
There's a few clips online.
And Will Forte from last week's MacGruber.
When we talk about MacGruber, it's really
funny. Big fans of these guys, but they are two of the most humorless retards outside of their own work. Like, they just don't know how to be funny when it's themselves.
They can't do it. They can't play.
It's insane.
And they were trying too hard. They were running around and like trying to play it up and everything.
Yeah, they really were trying too hard with like these empty blank smiles. I'm like, God. Jeez,
it's just because
both
like,
of them
they
are you going to get fucking both of these guys?
Well, you know what it reminded me of? It'd be like if Mike Myers was a judge on the Gong Show hosted by anyone else.
Yes.
It's just like someone who can't play well with others.
That's
who's
why
an
he's
auteur.
Like someone who's in deep in character right now because he can't do that kind of thing.
He famously can't riff, as we've seen from the Hurricane Katrina video. Yeah, that went viral. The viral video.
I mean, and it's the only video in history that's gone viral for someone not being able to riff in the moment. That's how bad he is at it. Like 10 years later, we're still talking about this video where he bombed not being able to riff.
Oh my goodness. And yeah, and Will Forte just is, he's so funny. But when he's being himself,
he's very sincere.
He's so
very
earnest and sincere. Says nothing funny. Just like gives honest appraisals of people's performances.
I think they need to put someone in there that can get into it and really get swept up into
it. That's what Dana did.
Dana did it. The whole cast of episode two did it. Dana, Anthony Anderson, Tracy, Ellis, Ross. They all really got into it.
They were the best panel by far. Even episode one had some highlights, but this is the best panel of people that were all
it
fucking
well.
In it. And like they worked together.
Mm. And the introduction that Tommy Maitland gave to Dana Carvey really sent the waterworks going both in my eye and in my pussy because it really turned me on. He called him, I wrote down what he said. He called him a gorgeous genius of comedy and star of Wayne's World. When he said that, Wayne's World basically got a standing ovation as Dana did like a mini Garth impression for like
a
second.
He went into Garth,
He just got a little flash
of mouth,
Garth and it was really, really beautiful. And then they just started riffing and playing around together. They did this thing of like, how dare you, sir?
Mm-hmm.
And,
he stood up and they were standing opposite each other.
Oh,
and then
Dana was so fucking good.
So good.
He just knew how to perform in front of a crowd. He knew how to use dynamics. He was standing up, coming to the center of the stage quite a bit. I said to you guys, I feel like Dana was auditioning to be the host of the Gong Show this because he was so fucking energetic.
He was. And he brought the best out of Mike.
And he was talking to the acts as well, wasn't he?
Yep. Talking to the acts. They brought the audience into it a few times.
The audience, yeah.
Anthony Anderson brought the audience in as well, like saying that he hated one of the audience members. He wanted to gong them off because he's wearing this horrible stripy top. And it was just like, I was, especially after the first episode, the second episode, we'll admit it, we're very lukewarm on this show.
Yeah. Mm.
We, I can't believe we're going to, we'll admit it on there. Yeah. I'll say we didn't like this show.
Oh, I had 100% made up my mind about it. I was like, this is a waste of Mike's talents.
Mm-hmm. They're quite long.
They're long episodes.
42 minutes.
Cut them down to 23 and make it all Mike. I don't give a shit about the...
And at the end when they bring out acts, they're like, there's more acts that we didn't even see. There's so much on the cutting room floor here.
Yeah.
Either that or it's a joke that they have fake acts
on
at the end.
I can't wait for the box set when we get to see all those deleted.
Because you know we will buy it. Or at least I
will. Tommy Maitland commentary on it.
But this episode brought it to life.
Yep.
Yeah,
and it made me go, Tommy Maitland is the right choice to host this show. They they shouldn't have got Shrek to do it. They did get the right guy. They got
the
right
best. Fuck the actor. Or maybe he is the cat.
Actually, maybe if Steve Rubell. That would be a much better show.
He just tries
show.
To suck
like
all
Chuck Barris or something.
Chuck Barris. Man.
Cool. Suck and fuck Barris is what his character's name is.
You know what I thought? I thought... I'm curious to see who ends up being judges in the future, but because they got to pick those panels so carefully. You need people who are willing to play, who will be excited by every act.
Get invested by it.
And who have good instincts on what's good and what the audience want to keep seeing more of. Because I don't think they gonged many people off in episode two, but in this one, Dana knew when to gong some shit act.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So off and Saturday Anthony. I don't know if Tracy gonged
that. She gonged the very last one off, who was a... I don't even remember what it was. It was something
was
very strange.
Cat,
no, it was a guy who wore a piglet hat.
Oh, yeah. The
pig oh, guy. Yeah, yeah, man. He was good, yeah. What, it was a pig?
Yeah.
He was wearing a suit and it was
yeah,
a pig.
It was a guy wearing a suit who bought a piglet hat out of like a you know, almost a Pulp Fiction style briefcase that lit up.
Yeah.
And then he put the pig hat on and just squealed.
It snorted like a pig.
Yeah, and you loved it.
I thought it was great. Good on him.
It was very Fuck Club.
It was very Fuck Club. Yeah. Big shout out to Fuck Club.
Yeah, if you don't know what Fuck Club is, we have mentioned it on the podcast
if
before.
If you know what Fuck Club is, gay this club is a podcast for you.
It's an alternative comedy space in Sydney.
It's a Suck and Fuck Palace.
It's a Suck and Fuck Palace.
That's actually the reboot of Fuck Club. Yeah. Suck and Fuck Palace.
It's a real cum swamp. Yeah.
And it's...
Shrek the Porno. I just want to go back to my cum swamp, Fiona. Fiona, he's British now.
All your fairies, get out of here. I'm Shrek.
Donkey, I'm fucking you. It's the least imaginative
gingerbread
thing.
Man, now I'm having sex with you.
Yeah. Who else can I fuck? Fuckwad. I'm gonna fuck you! Oh. Man, this is good stuff.
This is funny.
This is really funny.
God, guys, aren't you glad you subscribed to this podcast?
Oh, man, I'm glad I subscribed to it. I listen to every episode the day it drops.
Sometimes I re-listen to
it. Yeah, I love it, man. I gotta get those numbers up.
There was some other things that we talked about while watching the episodes about Tommy Maitland. There was something that I have a problem with him that kind of disappeared by the third episode, but it was driving me crazy that he doesn't say baby at the end of his sentences. Because it just feels like there's empty space at the end of the sentence. He's just gonna be like, you know, we got your next act coming up. and they're going to be very good. You know, like it just feels like there's just chuck the word in
just
there.
Just say baby. It's the only way to finish a sentence. I can't picture a better punctuation than the word baby at the end of
it
a sentence.
It lets you know that someone has said something and they're cool. You know, that's why it's good. Yeah. And I'm worried that he's got the urge to say it, but he hasn't done it because if he does, what if he turns into Austin?
That's why Dr. Evil had trouble saying it, and it sounded strange when it came out of Dr. Evil. And he's like, throw me a groovy baby. And it was like, oh, it doesn't feel right. Or Austin was like,
Mike, that is actually one of the funniest lines in all the Austin Powers movies.
Just trying it on. he did sound a bit like Dr. Evil a couple of times, though. He's only a twist away from his famous characters. He should have said baby. He needs a catchphrase. I know he famously said he has catchphrases in all the promo for this. He says one at the start of every episode. Yeah. The cheeky monkey one.
Who's a cheeky monkey? You are. You are. And that's why I love you. That's funny stuff.
I haven't heard him say you've got no proof since episode one.
You've got no proof.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Why isn't he pulling that out?
Yeah.
He also needs something as simple as baby.
Yes.
To put at the end of sentences so people know who this guy is.
Like, we got a new next act coming up, monkey.
Oh yeah, cheeky monkey.
Or that mama. You say mama.
If it's
you big mamas.
Oh mama, we got a great new act coming up. Like, say mama or something.
We got a mama great show for you daddies.
Yeah.
All you sugar daddies.
Okay. Or cuz.
Your hunk of change. How would he say cuz? Clinton?
Cuz.
Alright, cuz, stick around for the show.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. But he needs something, like a little affectation. Because now, the only affectations he has are doing hack jokes, which is something that Mike loves to do anyway.
Well, he tries to kind of laugh sometimes. He before an ad break one time, he kind of squeezed it at the end, but it seemed weird. It's like,
You know what? I think you're exactly right. I think that
he's still finding it, I think.
Yeah. Mike's putting the work for this character. I bet he's written a bunch of stuff, and there's just no time for it in the show.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing to really kind of squeeze in these sketch rates, because it's a hard sell anyway, this character running around, and it's a lot of energy.
He's always got to fucking react to the acts, and it's like, how would...
It's non-stop.
And like, Mike in his robot mind is probably going like... He's like, well, how would I react to this act as Mike Myers? Well, I wouldn't have a reaction at all. But as Tommy Maitland will be titillated by this burlesque, this furry burlesque teddy bear.
What level of horniness is Tommy? Yes. I know Mike is, and he's talking to himself.
Okay, Mike, me, horny right now, but Tommy probably pretty horny.
How do I play this?
So I better confirm that I have an erection.
Oh!
Rubs his nipples. That's Austin Powers' horny level as well, because he's like does all that like burning on his asshole and everything.
I'm on fire.
Do you think when Mike's being horny as his characters, do you think that's a reflection of his own horniness, or he's like a reaction to his lack of horniness?
Maybe he's like, this is what a normal person will be feeling in this moment. Someone that doesn't go deep into character for a TV show.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
He wasn't really horny in the Shep Gordon thing, was he?
Oh, we haven't seen it yet.
Really?
Yeah, we're saving it.
Oh, really? Oh,
we're saving it till the day we finally decide to kill ourselves. Which is coming up soon, guys. Yeah. Only a few episodes.
Alexi spent $90 on cyanide capsules for us to take.
They actually came in the tips of our hats with a little button on top of it. We're saving it just for that right moment.
But you know what? You're right, though, in saying that Tommy came alive in the presence of Dana Carvey to the point that when I was watching it, I thought it was a mistake to not have both of them on the show.
Permanently.
Yeah.
Because he has someone to play off.
Yeah. Even if Dana's just like a sidekick or a regular judge, panelist.
Oh, my God. I've got it for you.
Mm-hmm.
He could be the fucking drummer of the band, the band leader.
Please. He's a Paul Schaefer.
He's a Paul Schaefer, but funny.
Yeah, a cool Paul Schaefer.
He's like Max Weinberg.
And then you just go to him every now and then. He can do different voices and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I'm Turtle or whatever he does.
I don't know if I want him stuck behind the kit. I want him moving around.
Yeah,
he really owned.
I want him pacing the stage. Yeah. Maybe, I want him hands and knees.
Maybe he could play the stage master. He's backstage. He's like, well, you know, I've got a little thing to say. He comes out and goes, that was actually a good act.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are really jamming with me. I just want him. I want him sitting on the panel.
Maybe he's just the judge. He's the main judge.
Yeah, they could do that. That makes sense.
And then what they could do is, because it's Mike and Dana, every now and then Dana could play a character. Like, they put him up in that turtle makeup.
Yes.
And he's just on the... You know, they could make him come as different dead celebrities, like David Niven.
Yeah.
And it's like, on the panel today, we've got David Niven. Isn't that awesome? You thought he was dead, but he's still alive.
Yeah. Who's that?
Now, that's a bad Tommy.
That's like LEG.
Yeah, booyaka show. We got a beautiful shape for you here tonight.
Gong show, in it. Is the gong show wicked? Now, listen, I famously have been watching Grimsby.
Imagine if Borat was on the gong show.
I want Grimsby on it. I've famously been watching Grimsby lately.
If Grimsby was one of the contestants on the show.
And by the way, his name isn't Grimsby. Who gives a shit?
If the brothers Grimsby came out as a double act, it's like one's like, Mark Strong's like, yes, I'm very stern. And the other one's like, oi, what are you going at, little brother? And stuff like that.
That'd talk about his dick a lot. So is he
all
like,
I reckon. Sasha is the only comedian to rival Mike for horniness.
What about Russell?
Russell Brand, very horny.
Russell Crowe.
Yeah, Russell Crowe. Man, when he threw his dick at that guy. That was famous. That's the most famous thing he ever did.
One of the most famous sex romp movies, Master and Commander. That's what I'll say.
Dude, I love that shit. I want to confirm that. Yeah, so we need a regular on there. I need Dana. I need them to curate the judges better.
Yes. Why aren't they fucking listening to us? Why aren't the three of us judges?
I'll give them 10.
I'll give them 9+.
9+, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I'll give them an 8.
Mm.
Turn it on its side, that's infinity.
Because Dana really killed it.
You can do funny things when you write the number as well. Yeah. You can flip it upside down. Just a bit of personality.
Anything can be comedy.
I'll be like the bad boy.
At one point, Lizzie Banks drew like a cock as one of her
things. Yeah, it's so cool.
Or a pair of boobs because it was censored. We couldn't see it.
Yeah. And like in episode
even on
one,
the Russian stream, it was censored. I thought we'd be getting the full unadulterated gong show.
I thought they'd show all the like fuck acts that came in on the Russian stream. All the acts that like show full penny.
And for the brothers Grimsby, our lackeys, we're gonna climb into an elephant's pussy, you know?
That was... Hey, you haven't seen Grimsby, have you? Look, just watch it. So everyone out there, if you like this podcast, watch Grimsby. It's on Stan. It's really good.
We should do an episode on the brothers Grimsby.
Yeah, I love them.
Oh, cool.
There's a... You see a full pussy in it.
Really?
Yeah, a full elephant's pussy. It's so good.
It's really beautiful. Really beautiful moment.
How do we feel?
I feel cool.
How do we feel about this show? Do we like this show or not?
It is long, but it's invigorated me with new hope for this show.
This episode has invigorated you.
Totally invigorated.
Yeah, yeah. It was the first time I saw a Tommy smile. Yeah. And it was great. He's really starting to have fun with it. And I think now that he's gotten a bit of confidence, maybe he can have fun with other people besides Dana and really soar. And, you know, it's hard work and God bless him. And I think...
I really hope God does bless Tommy Maitland in one of the episodes.
But he's, you know, he's doing stuff through the whole thing. It's pretty funny if it's just him. But the show is long and it's pretty unwatchable, really. I think. I mean, the whole concept of it. Pretty retarded. Like, just gonging them and give them scores. I don't mean anything. Like, it doesn't. And the acts are like half written, it seems like.
Or, yeah.
It seems weird. I mean, I'll watch it for Tommy, but.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it's. Like, they just pitch these kind of open mic level acts or whatever, you know? Like, just, I want them.
And they're not even like that shocking or anything sometimes. It's just like boring or something. And then.
And even the ones that are like purported to be shocking are not that crazy.
No. Yeah.
Like one of the ones that was probably the most shocking, there was a fat clown that ate razor blades. And I was like, oh, that was the one where I had a big reaction to it. Out.
But they do that in every show. Like every talent show, there's like
there's
one guy.
Some cunt eating nails.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Fucking a chainsaw or whatever.
Yeah. Like, and it is funny shit. We'll admit it. It's funny shit.
It kills in the clubs.
It really it kills does. On the cruises as well. It goes gangbusters.
Comedy on water?
Yeah. But then the other stuff, there was one that was I found deeply disturbing, which was, I've mentioned it a couple of times, there's someone wearing like a furry suit. If you're not sure what a furry is, don't Google it. I'll tell you what it is. It's when people dress up as, you know, animal characters, cute animal characters, and they do a thing called yiffing, which is when they fuck each other.
Oh my God.
As an animal
character. Is that real?
Do they actually... do penny or is it just rubbing?
I don't know. I think they've got like little slits that they
so you can poke your little knob out.
Yeah.
But would it only be in the ass, like a cat's ass or an animal's ass? Because they all go ass, right? There's no pussy.
Wait.
Boy, does a dog have a pussy?
What are you? You think all animals just have dicks and assholes? Dude, I was just telling you about Grimsby. Visual confirmation that they have pussies. By...
So, yeah, all right.
Dude. But so I wonder who else, like, who else could Tommy Maitland play with? I've had a look at who some of the other judges coming up are. Mm. We can expect to see people such as Jack Black. Will he have fun with Jack?
Yeah,
man.
Jack is a perfect guest.
He's an entertainer. Mm.
Yeah. Yes, he loves to do high kicks and stuff like that.
He'd be like hugging Tommy. Tommy, let's rock and roll. And he'd be like wearing his hat, his fucking matador hat.
But as well, I could see him getting really invested in the acts and stuff
like that.
Andy Samberg's coming up. That could be fun.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Courtney Cox, I think she'll be good.
Fuck yeah.
Courtney Cox, come on. Shit. She's funny, dude.
I reckon she'll be good.
She'll be great. Awesome.
Jennifer Aniston? I mean, that's
I love Jen.
That's huge.
She's A-list.
I love Jen, and I just fucking hope she's happy.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of people say they're Gen X. I'm actually Jen Aniston.
There's a lot of good acts coming up, but you got to pick them carefully.
No more cold people.
No more cold souls.
No more wet blankets. People that are actually going to get into the show and embrace it for what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because they got to be entertaining themselves. That's the point. They can't be just like real judges and sit there and go, "Well, I liked it or didn't like it." They have to be like, "Oh, I'm going to run around over here." And
because ultimately, it doesn't matter.
It's like
Whose Line Is It Anyway? It's just where the games are made up and the points don't matter.
Yeah,
as Tommy Maitland says, it's just for funsies.
Yeah, it's just for funsies.
Get more people.
Turn off your brains. You know what he says?
Turn off your brains and get ready for some laughs. I'm Tommy Maitland.
I'm Ozzy Osbourne from the hit TV show The Osbourne.
They gotta get the Osbourne family as a panel.
Oh my God.
Okay, this is my dream panel.
That would happen.
This is my dream panel. Okay. Well, it is going to be very 2000 something. We get Sharon Osbourne.
Yes.
She's great. She'll say something. Hello. Carson Kressley.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Carson Kressley.
He'll bring some sass.
He'll bring it. I love him. One of my comedy influences Carson Kressley.
I'll bring him home.
And then closing it out, I'd probably say Flavor Flav.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, he was wearing some bling tonight, Tommy Maitland. Mm. He had a Gong Show bling on.
Yeah, let's choose the guest based on what props Tommy Maitland has.
They just want him someone to embrace.
So, a matador, a famous matador.
Or someone to call him out on wearing too many props.
Yeah.
Like if Flavor Flav is always like, hey, why are you doing that?
Why are you culturally appropriating?
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Carrot Top goes on and they out-prop each other.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
That.
Clinton, who's your dream Carrot Top panels?
Okay. Carrot Top. Yep. I would like to see like Eddie Murphy and like I'd like to see other people that Mike has worked with.
Yes.
I'm talking
Cameron Diaz,
the cat.
Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe.
I'd be surprised if we don't see Rob Lowe.
I don't know if he'd be any good. He could be good. He's pretty funny.
He'd be great. Yeah.
Really funny, actually.
He's too sexy for me. I can't tell.
He is very...
He drips it. Yeah.
He drips it.
Imagine seeing Tommy flirt with Rob Lowe. Now that's fucking...
Seeing them two really... Yeah, that'd be fun, actually.
Yeah, Tia Carrere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What about Mindy Sterling? It's her birthday
please,
this week.
Get her on
there, really?
Yeah, I know everyone in Hollywood's birthday. Mindy Sterling is this week. Probably the day of release.
I usually have to wait till the end of E.T. to learn the birthdays of everyone and write them down.
Yeah. My dream panel, Grimsby.
Yeah.
Grimsby, yes. I really want Grimsby on there. Probably Ali G.
Yeah, that's really good. And maybe Guru Maurice Pitcairn, closing it out.
Yeah, Guru Maurice
and if
Pitcairn.
If they can't get him, Bruno. Deepak Chopra, maybe.
Another similarly funny woke bloke.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I think I really want to see more of it. I was losing it on episode 2, but episode 3 dragged me right back in.
And I am proud to be a Gong Show recap podcast today. Proud to be that. We're closing up the episode in a minute, and there's another observation that I would like to call attention to. This is something that we mentioned during the Gong Show previews, perhaps, when we were watching those, that there was a mic connection that we kind of made. That perhaps Tommy Maitland, there's in his backstory, we're trying to find out more about him, because we did believe that he is the father of another Mike Myers character, Simon the Bath Boy SNL.
Of course.
And Simon the Bath Boy, like Tommy Maitland, is the host of his own TV show. But it's from a bathtub where he hangs out with other guests such as Danny DeVito and stuff
like
that.
He also calls people cheeky monkeys.
He does call people cheeky monkeys. Mm-hmm. Same catchphrase.
Yeah.
You are a cheeky monkey. You looking at my bum? Are you looking at my bum?
I reckon
bum?
Tommy Maitland might say that in future episodes.
Are you looking at my bum?
Are you looking at my bum? He might do
that. If Tommy Maitland says that at any point, it's official.
It's
official. There was another thing that confirmed it for me today.
Okay.
And not just confirmed it, it firmed it as well.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Because
congratulations.
There was a part where there was a horrible act of a woman ventriloquist who was really horrible. Open mic level ventriloquist. Really, really, really bad.
And the open mic ventriloquist scene,
it's going off in Sydney right
it's
now.
It's killing. It's Sydney. It's really good. There's some really good sign up on the night ventriloquist.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get about 10 minutes these days.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You do have to put 2 signatures on the paper.
So it does fill up.
Yeah, it does fill up.
You get
up
a plus
quick.
One, but that's your doll.
It is a bringer's show. You do have to bring your own doll. One for the audience as well. It's got a 4-drink minimum.
And you can't bring child porn. Because most ventriloquists.
Famously, most ventriloquists leave it are into child pornography. But in this.
It was him.
He was looking it up.
You
look at every ventriloquist throughout history, Strassman, Jeff Dunham, all into child porn. I'll say it.
Yeah, we'll say it. We'll put it on the record. But in this, she flirts with him and she says, yeah, don't gong me. I want to gong your wife. And he said, well, my wife has died, actually.
Yeah, he did it very seriously.
It was quite serious and it was very odd. And I thought, this is strange, until I was like, wait, the backstory. Simon the Bath Boy says his mother is singing with the angels.
That's right.
She's living with the angels.
Holy shit.
This is more confirmation because he's talked about how he's been hanging around with these loose women and stuff since then. And I think there is some nods to that in Simon. His dad's away a lot.
Yep.
Tommy's away a lot on tour doing the Edinburgh. He's now living in the Gong Show.
So a similar
which is a micronation in America. Populated by freaks and losers. But I really think that it might be similar to Mike. You know, his father's passed away. Maybe he's bringing that into it as well.
Oh, what a surprise. Mike's bringing his experiences about his dad. No, but that's interesting. If he's Simon's dad and this is a shared universe, dare I call it a Mike cinematic universe.
Yeah, the MCU.
The MCU.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, that makes me want to look for connections elsewhere.
Yeah. So I think that's the biggest connection. That's the biggest confirmation for me and why I'm so intrigued by the Gong Show.
Okay. Wow.
Because it relates to a character Mike hasn't done for 20 years.
Yeah, right.
Well, what do you think, Clinton?
Because Simon's dad got... He did some stuff with a mob or something, right?
I think that was Danny. Oh, yeah, he was working with Danny.
It's like, my
daddy
is... And he lost a little money at the thing. And he got in trouble with the mob or something like that.
Hang on a second. When you said... That's in Tommy Maitland's backstory as well. He got into a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, my God. He did too.
Really?
Yeah,
he's got
he
all
did.
These debts and stuff.
That's it.
Oh, my God.
I think we've just
So yeah, Shrek is Gold Member's brother, and it's all fucking. Who gives a shit?
There was a moment where we were.
We were all like wowed for a second there. And then Clinton brought us crashing right back down to reality.
Should have brought a quickies.
Jesus Christ.
Well, you've been eating a lot of quickies lately. Everything I came in that belly.
I'm addicted to them. They're the best mints.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us on the Gong Show Recap Show, Mic Check, where we watch every episode of the Gong Show and then we talk about it afterwards.
Are you going to do more episodes? Of course. With Gong Show? Are you going to watch more?
We're going to do Gong Show every 2 weeks. We'll do something in between, either a mic movie or a sketch from online mic history.
Yeah.
And every listener out there, every horny baby, please don't worry that we're just going to recap the Gong Show on those episodes. We are going to try and find deeper things to discuss here like we did today.
Like we did today, where we uncovered a fucking huge mystery.
That is, that's the mystery we're trying to crack now. We're
and not talking clues. About Jimmy Mystery, the star of The Guru. Not to be confused with the Love Guru.
So a message to Mike Myers, we're on to you, you know? We've figured it out.
Yep. We've figured it out. It only took 3 eps. Now you can cancel the show, get back to doing what you love doing, making movies.
I'm going to try and reach out to Tommy Maitland on Twitter and see if he'll respond to any of these rumors.
Okay, Tommy Maitland's very active on Twitter. He really? He retweets so many things, never once retweeted us.
No.
Really? We're your biggest fans.
Yeah. Tommy Maitland.
Get a fucking clue. Get the board game Clue.
And give us some more clues as to who you are.
Read the movie Clueless.
Yeah. And have a blast.
Clues. Have a blast.
Thanks so much for joining us, Clinton.
Oh, thank you. What a dream come true to have
you on the show.
God bless you, boys.
Have you back again. You're one of the biggest Mike fans out there.
I love it. I love Mike. And I think this is a new step for Mike, the Gong Show. And it's his big comeback, really. And I'm excited. I'd love to see more of him.
Yeah, me too.
Now, speaking of seeing more of people, where can we see more of you? What have you got coming up?
Oh, nothing much coming up.
Well, you are one of the stars of the new Aaron Chen Tonight Show.
Yeah, that'll be on air soon, maybe. Yeah.
Coming out on ABC 2.
Yeah.
And you've got Twitter?
And I've got a Twitter, @Clinton_Hangs, sometimes funny, sometimes odd. But that's my brand, and
you gotta know your brand.
Yeah,
my brand is just stealing catchphrases from Mike Myers and using them a lot out of context.
And my brand is being one of the most empathetic comedians in Australia. I'm Sydney's most empathetic comedian, I'd say.
While Alexi's saying this, let me paint you a picture. He's staring emotionless into the middle distance.
I am looking at the microwave. thank you so much for joining us. Cameron's on Twitter. You can contact him @IamCameronJames. Mm-hmm. You can contact me on Twitter @ThisIsAlexi. You can also contact both of us @MikeCheckPod on Twitter. Also, you can contact us on Facebook. We're on Mike Check with Cameron James and Alexi Toliopoulos. We're going to be posting whatever we're up to on those. And one of the cool things that we've got coming up together, we are hosting a 20th anniversary screening of Austin Powers at the Golden Age Cinema.
Holy shit.
On August 16th.
At 8:30 p.m.
It's a Wednesday night and tickets are already selling.
Yeah.
We've already sold at least a couple of tickets.
So it'll be on the big screen.
Screen.
Wow, let me see that opening dance on the big screen.
Are you going to come along?
Yeah, are you going to come?
Be one of our plus ones.
You're one of our plus ones.
Yeah, I'll come.
Clinton Haynes,
I love it,
is going to be there. Can you come in character as Austin and Dr. Evil?
And then get up and talk with us at the start of the movie.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do a Q&A with Austin and Dr. Evil.
What was it like working on a movie?
Director was great.
Is that how we talked?
Yeah, that's
it. that I really cannot wait for that, and there'll be some. That's gonna be really great.
It's gonna be a blast.
Wow. And Cameron, what are you up to?
What have I got coming up? July 18. That's next week. If you're in Sydney, come to the Bondi Feast Festival. Myself and Becky Lucas are doing a show there called Bad Blood. Mm-hmm. You can buy tickets online at bondifeast.com.au. It's an hour of us doing stand-up and riffing together. And I think we're going to try and do the entire Soldier Boy dance as well, because it's a good way to spend your money is to watch two people you kind of know just do a dance from 15 years ago.
Really exciting. Can't wait to go.
I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you're going to Splendor in the Grass, fuck watching music, come and watch comedy at the Comedy Tent. Mm. I'll be there. I'll be doing all sorts of riffs. I'll probably say horny and I'll isolate most of the people there.
LCD sounds to some more like love comedy, do ya? That's what you should be doing.
What have you got coming up?
Well, we've just come out of hiatus on our other podcast, the Blank Slate Movie Podcast. Mm-hmm. We have an episode about Spider-Man Homecoming out right now. If you've seen that, go check it out. It is...
Another swinger.
And I've also got Green Lights Comedy on the 28th of July. I'm the host of Nick O'Malley. It's one of the best comedy shows in the country. These boys have been on many, many a time. It's on the 28th of July. It's $10, 8 p.m. at the Gaelic Club in Sydney, right near Central Station. And the headliner, another one of the biggest Mike Myers fans in the world, Mr. Dave Eastgate. So it's going to be a great night. Come and hang out there.
It'll be a blast of show. Another high kicker.
Like he loves to.
another swinger.
Yeah.
And just want to say, if you liked what you heard tonight, give us 5 stars on iTunes. And in your review, give us the name, title, and concept for what you'd like our next super specific actor-based podcast to be. We've got a new one in from Guy J. James. And this is one of our fans from Merry Old England.
Oh, hello.
Yes, famous for where Tommy Maitland is from. he said, Shagadelic baby, this podcast has amazing chemistry and they do make me horny. And he has given 2 options. One option is Chris Rocks or Chris Stops. Can assume what that one's about. And this one I really love. And we've had a few suggestions for this as well. Seth Green or Seth Wright.
Oh,
okay. I like that. Right. When we watched it, because I think that's a great concept, because Seth Green was a child actor. He was in the Woody Allen movie about radio.
He's in
Radio
It Days. As
radio
well.
Man. Yeah.
Radio Days. And then he became a ripe star of the silver screen in Austin Powers and others, such as...
Can't Hardly Wait.
And... Rack Race. Rat Race, sorry.
Host of Robot Chicken.
Oh, yeah, he is the host of Robot
Chicken. He's the Robot Chicken himself. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. And we'll be with you soon with another very shaggy episode.
It's my check. It's my check. The podcast by Mike Myers. And we're clear.
Getting caught in the wrong shoes can interrupt your plans for the day, like when that 10% chance of rain ends up looking more like 100%. When the transition to fall and winter feels more like experiencing every season on the same day, there's the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Cross off errands with the splash protection on the Wool Runner Mizzle. Dash through cold and wet weather with all-conditioned traction and reflective details on the Wool Dasher Mizzle. Or upgrade to next-level protection with the Mudguard on the Wool Runner-Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.